You'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We'll be looking at a few verses together. It was about 5 years after I'd really done any running that my friend Rod Murphy said, "Hey, you ought to run with me in this hospital run they're doing. I've been training for a marathon, and one of the things that I want to train with is kind of work up. I'm going to do a 10K run. They have a 5K. You could get in there." I said, "Rod, I haven't been running at all for like 5, 6 years since I was in high school. I don't know that I could even make it." He said, "Oh, you'll be fine. Just get stretched out real good. Go out there and just have a good time. I just need someone to kind of be there to kind of keep me motivated." Well, I showed up. That was my first mistake. Without any preparation, without any training, and very little stretching out, I just showed up at this hospital run, the Olathe Medical Center near Kansas City, and I decided I was going to run and entered in the 5K. If you don't know the conversion, that's a little more than 3 miles, about three, maybe 3.1 miles, something like that. Now, I had done some running, like I said, in high school days, some long distance and more sprinting, but I'd done some training for basketball season and different things, and I had kept physically fit, you know, in my early 20s, but I was not prepared for any 5K run. And so I tried to kind of get through it, and I did get my way through it. I know I wasn't setting any record paces or anything else, but the very moment that I got started, I had a lot of regrets. I had a lot of regrets for listening to my friend Rod and him talking me into it. I had regrets that I'd shown up, and I had regrets that I'd even taken the first step, because I had absolutely put no training into that event. Now, he eventually went all the way and fulfilled his one of his life dream of running in the Boston Marathon. He made a few marathons and made it through. Now, I had no aspiration or anything kind of a marathoner thing. I didn't even have aspiration for a 5K, let alone a 10K or a marathon. But I remember at the time hearing from him about and I've heard different research that goes into the marathoners and what that's all about. But apparently that, according to legend and so forth, the name marathon comes from the legend of this fellow in the army, Philippides or Pheiopides, the Greek messenger that makes it from Marathon to Athens to announce that the Persians had been defeated. And he announces to them that they'd been defeated, the Battle of Marathon. And apparently, by history and legend, after he makes this big announcement, he drops dead right there. So that ought to tell you right there, there's not a lot of good that can come from a marathon when the originator of it and the story and the folktale and everything collapses and dies from it. But for me, it was an interesting experience. I'll tell a little bit more about that and some of the motivation next week of why I kept on going. And I did finish that, although at a very, very low pace. But I want us to look into the Word of God, and I want to submit to you that we are training for a run this morning that is far more consequential than any 5K or 10K or marathon. We are training this morning to run this race. And we read about it in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." And then looking over at Philippians chapter 3, you don't need to turn, I'll just read this portion very briefly. "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Well, we are all a part of this race. And the race that is set before us, we've been called to, is to run the race and persevere to the very end. And I want to submit to you this morning, first of all, that if you're going to run this race, you need to have a training regimen in place. You need to have that discipline. We've talked a lot about discipleship, which really comes from discipline. And we've talked about that with our young people over the last several months in the summer Grow series. We had them share that last week. And all that is important. And that's the beginning and the continual process of discipleship, of following Jesus. But I want us to note this morning that this walk of growing in grace is something that's a continual process that we keep on in the long endurance race and that we're running for all time. And there's some principles in training aspects that we must apply spiritually just like we would physically. I know Emily Ogles is a runner. She's done a lot of long distance. Well, I don't really have any motivation myself to go out and be in a marathon today. But I tell you, I do have motivation to run this race that is set before us spiritually. Let me just point out to us a few applications of this training regimen and what we see from Romans chapter 12. First of all, he says, let go of what is holding you back. If you're going to run this race, you need to be willing to let go of those things that are holding you back. And he directly makes application of two areas that we need to let go of. There's a lot of people that are not willing to let go and let God have their way. But if you're going to run this race and persevere and make it to the finish line, you must, first of all, let go and release all that hinders. Release all those things that hinder you spiritually. Now, there could be a lot of things in application. That's why it's such a beautiful thing when you preach the Word of God and the Holy Spirit makes application to the hearts and lives of individuals, that I don't have to be the all-knowing, because I'm not. Only God is all-knowing. But He knows your heart. And He knows what it is that's hindrance in your life and in your heart. I can tell you something, that a lot of people are far more concerned with appearances in their running than they are releasing all that hinders. You wouldn't go out if you were training and developing a training regimen. You wouldn't go out, I don't think, in your nicest Sunday best or high heels or dress shoes. You would probably try to find things that are appropriate that would not hinder you, and that's training. You'd find athletic wear and shoes especially, and those things that would help you, that wouldn't hinder you. And yet, spiritually speaking, a lot of people are not making that application. They're going out and they forget to release those things that hinder them. And it's not necessarily those things. We'll address it in just a moment, things that are sinful. But things that can hinder in your life are distractions that weigh you down. Distractions of life that sometimes you become overcommitted and you're trying to do all that you can. And you find yourself trying to juggle all these things. And yet you're not running the race with patience that's set before you, because you haven't released all that hinders. Are you motivated more by pride or by service and humility? If there's pride that's entered in and you're doing it with the wrong motivation, you need to release that if that's a hindrance in your life and say, Lord, I'm not running this race to impress other people. I'm running this race to make it to the destination and make heaven my home. The Hebrew writer makes it very clear this morning. We need to have those things that weigh us down. We need to set them aside, release them. Lay aside every weight. Now in training, sometimes people will put those things on to strengthen their endurance. But when you're going before in that race, and you're actually entered in the race, you don't want to keep the weights on, do you? You don't want to keep those ankle weights on or anything else that's going to hinder you. You want to have everything released that you can run with patience and with endurance, the race that's set before you. It may be other things that come in to your life that cause a hindrance. Sometimes it's relationships. Relationships in and of themselves are not intrinsically good or evil, but there can be relationships that come in that will be a hindrance to you spiritually. Say, well, Pastor Tim, that's not fair. What if I just met this nice guy and he has so much interest in, does he love the Lord? Is he really desiring to do things that are spiritually uplifting, or is he in hindrance and influence of you to do something that you ought not to do? Relationship can be one of the biggest hindrances in really being an endurance runner in this race. You can get a little ways down the track and find that a relationship and the pressure that's put on and the influence and the pressure of your peers can influence you to do something that you ought not to do and find yourself in a hindrance spiritually. There's many other things that you could apply, perhaps as the Lord brings it to your mind, that would be a hindrance and would apply. But I would submit to you, no matter what it is, if the Holy Spirit has laid it on your heart this morning, and He's put that in your mind, as I've been sharing about a hindrance, then chances are He's also saying you need to release it. You need to let go and let those things that are holding you back be submitted to Him, that He can help you to run this race with patience and make it to your final destination. And then certainly in application, we see that not only do we let go and release all that hinders, but we must reject sin that entangles us. And many times we refer to this as the besetting sin. The Hebrew writer says that we should lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us or besets us. What is it that we're talking about? Certain individuals can confess before the Lord Jesus Christ as they would testify in their growth of Him. They would always say, there was always a certain area in my life that seemed to come up time and time again. It's not the same thing for you as it would be for me. But the devil knows your weakness. He knows where you've surrendered sometimes to temptation. And he'll come back and he'll try to persuade you and get you off track in that besetting sin and then snare you and entangle you in those habits and those hindrances of the past. When we reject sin that entangles us, we are not only repenting again, but we're renewing a vow before the Lord Jesus Christ that I have committed what I'm going to do is serve you for all the days of my life. I'm going to make heaven my home. I am going to run this race and make it by God's grace. When we reject sin that can so entangle us, we demonstrate not only to the Lord that we're dedicated, that we're committed to run this race, but we often demonstrate to the enemy that we have committed, as the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. It's no wonder that we understand that sin, any violation, or as the Wesleyan definition, any willful violation or willful transgression against a known law of God can be a hindrance to us spiritually, because if we're walking back on light and willfully sinning, disobeying the Word of God, then we're not in right relationship, are we? The original sin was simple disobedience. Adam and Eve were placed in a perfect garden. They, in their perfection, had pure hearts, pure minds, and yet God gave them one command. He said, He had positive commands, be fruitful, multiply. You can have dominion over this garden, over this earth. But He said, there's one tree. You can even eat of all these trees, but there's one tree in the midst of the garden of which you cannot eat. Because the day that you eat of it, it's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. That very thing that was prohibited was the thing that ensnared them the most. There was a tract years ago that my parents had that were in their files, and I remember reading over it many times. It talked not just of out-and-out blatant sin that's listed in the Ten Commandments, but the phrase was this, others may, you cannot. And it spoke of a deeper level of discernment that goes even beyond the letter of the law to speak to our hearts and understand what a besetting sin would be in our life when it's a hindrance that we need to release before God. Say, what's the difference between releasing all that hinders and rejecting sin that entangles? Well, God by His Spirit is the one who will reveal that to you. When it's disobedience to God and what He's revealed to your heart, that sin that entangles and snares that you need to reject completely, those things that are a hindrance, we also release. But certainly, we can all agree this morning that we must reject sin that entangles. Well, what kind of sin are you talking about, preacher? Well, many times People find that their mouth gets them in trouble. We'll just start right there. What kind of sins do we have with the mouth? Well, sins of lying, sins of gossiping. Bearing false witness can be not just not telling the truth, but perhaps being one that's involved in gossip. That's among a list of things that God hates. We don't want to be a gossip, do we? Say, well, I just shared that because it was such an urgent prayer request. Well, were you part of the problem, part of the solution, or were you just more concerned about passing on the latest juicy tidbit about something? Now, I know sometimes things that are very sensitive have to be shared, and we do want to pray and intercede for one another, but our motivation is the key, isn't it? It's not just what we're saying, but why we do what we're doing. Sometimes people get into trouble not only with their lips, with their mouth, what they're saying, they get into trouble with their actions, with a witness and testimony that's a barrier to them. Maybe they intend to do better and they find themselves ensnared within a habit, something that has become a strong bind or habit or chain in their life. It's no wonder that he uses this phrase of entanglement or ensnarement, because that's exactly what sin does in our lives. Could I just say very boldly this morning, like it says in 1 John, that the Bible says that he which commits sin is of the devil. Did you know that? So that's an active, willful violation to commit sin. If that's something that's in your life, then you're aligning yourself with the enemy of your soul, the one who wants to destroy you, the one who wants to bring you down and send you to hell. You're aligning yourself with him. It's no wonder that when temptation comes, we need not to even play with it and toy with it. Because when sin comes to our hearts, it's not just an automatic thing that comes overnight. It's by being enticed and tempted and fertilizing that temptation that we begin to think and plot out and think, I wonder if. And when you begin to wonder if what would happen, you've already begun to see that possibility of that surrender to temptation. Rejecting sin that entangles says, I will resist, I will refuse, I will run from it. I will not allow the devil to get a stronghold in my life. Rejecting sin of commission is one that says, I will not let these habits, I will not let these things that have entangled me in the past entangle me ever again. To refuse, resist, and to run from it. It's interesting that the Bible makes it very clear that we will never be tempted above what we can bear. But the Lord Jesus Christ declares that by His Spirit He will provide a way of escape. Say, a way of escape. It's the same formula time and time again. Refuse it, resist it, run from it, flee from it. No wonder the Bible says, flee youthful lust, those strong desires that are trying to be fulfilled, that you're trying to fulfill illegitimately instead of the way that God desires for you. Don't allow the devil to have that first place, but allow the Lord Jesus Christ to have first place in your life. When we let go of what is holding us back, we can run this race, we can release all that hinders, reject sin that entangles, and move forward in position. Next week, Lord willing, we'll talk more about that endurance aspect, how when we're winded and weary, how we keep on in the fight. But I want to look at another aspect that's mentioned in the first couple verses of Romans 12. He says, looking unto Jesus. We must fix our eyes upon Jesus. We need to look to Him. Many times it's a temptation to look at a lot of other things. And I just want to apply just a couple of areas again to our young people and older and families, whether it's parents or grandparents. These are important principles that I believe that we ought to apply in our lives. No matter how long you've been serving the Lord, you need to keep your eyes on Jesus, because the enemy would love nothing more than to get your eyes off track of the goal. Jesus is there at the finish line. He's waiting for you to make it. And we know, as we read this morning, there's also a cloud of witnesses that are cheering us on. So if God be for us, and we have this cloud of witnesses that are for us, they're there at the finish line saying, you can make it. You can make it. You can make it. I think I shared this maybe a year or so ago, but when I was in elementary school, I was doing a little bit of training and running, and that particular field day and the high school field day, we had several, about five Christian schools that would come to a field day. They had different races that were being run. And one of their runners that did the mile run was very sick that day. He just could not run. He was just violently sick. And my brother got the wise idea, well, Timmy's been training. I was only in fifth grade. He's been training. He's been doing a lot of running. He could probably finish that. And so they just stuck me in, just kind of upgraded me up to the middle school level all on that day and put me in the last race of the day. The main miler, Jonathan Lowry, was going to take the first spot, and I'd be the second one for our school, for Overland Christian. And there I was. I wasn't ready for that race either, but there I was. Now, I knew I could run a mile. I knew I could finish it, and I wouldn't have any trouble finishing, but I knew that I could not keep up with those big boys. So I started off and paced myself a little bit and made it through the first. I had to go four times around the track, made around the first lap, and I was way behind. I was trying to pace myself just to finish the race. That's all that I cared about. And I made it around the second lap. By that time, I was looking way down the road at the others. But you know what? By the third lap, I took some comfort in the fact that a couple boys, one from Kirksville, Missouri, another one from Fort Scott, Kansas, they dropped out of the race completely. They weren't even going to make it to the fourth round. I said, well, at least I'm not going to be last place. Hallelujah. So that gave me a little bit of motivation. I kicked it in the fourth lap, and I was really feeling good about myself. When I came around that first turn, I heard a lot of cheering going. I was like, what? I looked up. I got my eyes up. And there, lo and behold, they were cheering on Jonathan Lowry. He was already about to cross the finish line. I was just entering my fourth lap. I wasn't anywhere near the finish line. And I was tempted at that very point in time, just quit. Just like that guy from, those fellas from Fort Scott, Kirksville. Down there. What's the point? I'm not even going to play. They already know who's wanted by the time I get there. About that time, after I'd come around that first bend, I saw my mom and dad. They pulled up on a side street by our track, by our school, and there they were. They were cheering me on. They were cheering me on to keep on going, Timmy. Keep on going. Well, that motivated me. I guess I've got to finish. And so I made it up the hill and back around the last turn. And like I said, the track had already cleared. But then someone, I don't know what happened, but my brother said someone saw that I was still in there. They said, wait, here comes the mini miler. And they started cheering as if I was going to win some, just this little fifth grader. And a big roaring, cheering me on to finish the race. Finish the race. You can do it. You can do it. I kicked it in, start sprint for all I was worth. I limped across the line, and they lifted me up on their shoulders and all around the field like I was some big hero. All I'd done is finish with like ninth place or something of the 12 runners, but I'd finished the race. I'd made it through. And I thought of that, and I thought, you know, they took me out for Dairy Queen celebrates, but I just made it through. I thought, kind of like that race when I was in elementary, got to be like the big guy. You know, it's not necessarily for first place ribbons that we're running. But there is a cloud of witnesses this morning that's cheering us on and saying, you can do it. You can keep on going. Finish the race. Don't give up. Keep on going. Just one more turn. Make it through. And I want to tell you this morning, we have a cloud of witnesses. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. If we'll keep our eyes on that goal, He's for us. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? The Lord Jesus Christ wants you to make it this morning. Sadly, we forget that Jesus is the one that we need to look to. Sometimes we allow obstacles in our life to become the focus. Could I submit to you this morning, stop focusing on all the obstacles around you. Yeah, there's a lot of obstacles. We all have had some barriers in our lives. A lot of people get hung up on that, and they get hung up on maybe they've come from a poor upbringing or something of some hindrance educational-wise, or maybe they haven't had certain advantages. I heard some little interview the other day that was talking about, well, because we're not all on an equal playing field, we don't have the same opportunity, then what's the point? I said, what's the point? Aren't you thankful that we live in America where there's still equal opportunity? Maybe we don't start out the same. There's still equal opportunity. You can apply yourself. And young people, I'm here to tell you, you may not have had the background and all the advantages, maybe in this community that some people do, that's in some rich household or in some particular school or whatever, but I'm here to tell you, if you apply yourself and keep on in this race, you can make it, you can succeed, you can be what God would have you to be, and that's all that matters. So don't allow these obstacles to be a barrier, a hindrance in your life. Stop focusing on the obstacles. Because I'm here to tell you that our God is a God who can remove those obstacles in your life and those barriers if you'll keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty soon, those obstacles in life will just sort of fade. They'll disintegrate right before your very eyes because you're so focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't even see those things. Because that's not the track you're on anyway. You're on the track to make heaven your home. The things of this world are many times the obstacles that the enemy puts out. He puts these things, whether it's material things or educational things or relational things, and he puts them out there because he wants us to focus on things that are temporal, things that will not be eternal. But if we'll focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, our focus cannot help but to be on things that are eternal, things that will outlive us and go on and on for all eternity. Pastor, does that mean that there's no such thing as... No, there's real obstacles. We recognize them. But your focus is not on the obstacle. Your focus is on Jesus Christ. It's no wonder he says, looking unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. He's the one. Well, some people don't focus on obstacles. They have trouble focusing on others. Could I say again, stop looking at others? When I was running that 5K run with my friend Rod Murphy, I made the mistake not only of starting, but I made another mistake of trying to outdo Coach Roy Williams. Some of you might know that name. Coach Roy Williams used to be the University of Kansas, the Jayhawks coach. He was in that area at the time. He's now in North Carolina. I think he's still there. But he was there for a number of years, and I saw he was kind of the celebrity person of that Olathe Medical Center. He lived in Olathe, or near Lawrence, right next to Olathe. And so he was there, and I thought, well, if I do nothing else, I'm going to just try to be motivated. I'm going to try to beat Roy. Well, I was really happy with myself that I finished that 5K run and beat Roy, but it all was kind of shallow when I realized, oh, Roy wasn't running the 5, he was running the 10K. So I really had to come. He kept on going. So his pace was far different than mine. We'll talk a little bit more about that, Lord willing, next week, about the pace. But you know, we are so sometimes so more concerned about what other people are doing. You remember in the New Testament when the disciples began to ask different questions of Jesus about those that would be in the highest place of honor in heaven, or by what death they'll die. And Jesus said, what is it to you? Follow thou me. And I believe that would apply to us today. If we're not called this morning to look at other people and to get them lined out and to give them a recommendation in this race. We're only called to look upon Jesus this morning. Stop looking at others. Some people, when they come into training regimen, they're more concerned about if they're going to compare, and they probably spend more money and effort on shopping for their outfit for their training regimen, their shoes and everything else. They might spend $200 or $300 on a nice training outfit than they do making an effort of really thinking about their training regimen of following in this endurance race. What are you talking about? Well, I think some people are more concerned about outward appearances than they are what's on the heart. But God doesn't look at those things like man does. He looks on the heart. That's not an excuse to just go roughshod over everything that's principled modesty and decency and anything that separates from the world. But the principle is this. Stop looking at others and applying and comparing yourself with them. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people may be faster than you. They may outstrip you in the race. They may be able to take it on a faster pace. And we are not called on to compare ourselves with others. Those, the Bible says, those that compare themselves with others are not wise. Don't apply a standard of what God has done in their life. Don't try to mimic someone else, or don't try to idolize someone else and put them up on a pedestal, because guess what? They're human. Don't put me on your pedestal. I'm human this morning. But I must submit to God just like anyone else. And I must keep my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Because without Him, I can do nothing. And without Him, without keeping your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot make it. You will not make it. If you get your eyes on those obstacles or on the others around you, you will not make it this morning. When we let go of what is holding us back, Release all that hinders, reject sin that entangles, and fix our eyes upon Jesus to stop focusing on obstacles and on other people and their situations and their problems or perhaps their advantages. God brings us to a place where we begin to get the sight in view that we can make heaven our home and make it across the finish line. I wonder this morning, ask Sister Paul, if you'll come to the piano, I'd ask her to play the chorus to turn your eyes upon Jesus. I'm going to ask us to stand this morning. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has allowed the focus to get off of what it should be. Maybe there's hindrances that have come in your life. I want us to sing this song by way of invitation, just a simple chorus. If you have a need this morning, I just invite you to come. May this be a step in the right direction to let go of those things that are a hindrance. Perhaps it's sinful, perhaps it's not. Whatever it is, God's the one that can deal with that in your life. And then to get your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the one that will carry you through to the finish line. We're going to sing this chorus perhaps a couple, two or three times. If you have a need this morning, if the Lord's dealing with your heart, why don't you come as we sing.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
I trust that God will apply these truths to our heart and life. Lord willing, next Sunday we'll look at getting that second wind in this endurance race with the Lord Jesus Christ to make heaven our home. Amen. Brother Rusty, would you dismiss us in prayer?